All right, open your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we'll read verses 6 through 9 to begin with. That song really sets the stage for the message. We're still dealing with our inner self, looking at different things that take place on the inside. And today we're looking at worry. Worry. Anybody ever worry? Be careful if you raise your hand, because I'm gonna tell you what it is here in a minute. So we do it from time to time. And, you know, there's the word worry. The Bible uses the word care, as in I have cares or burdens. It also uses the word fret. And that is a word that is discernment of or defining of the word worry as well. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 9, I want to start with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That's saying stop worrying. Okay? It's not saying don't be careful. It's saying don't be careful. As in, I am burdened down by the cares of this world. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, what's the peace of God? That's the opposite of worry. That's the opposite of burden. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And so this is a great passage of Scripture. In this passage of Scripture, he says, you got some cares? Pray. You got some cares? Think about the right things. You got some cares? Do and act upon those right things that you're thinking about. And so those are the things that we see in this passage, everything by prayer and supplication. And it says, think on these things, true, honest, just, pure, lovely. Is that what this world focuses on? Well, we focus on the things this world focuses on. We can get all out of sorts, can't we? And then verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Put into action faith in God. Because what happens when we get out of faith in God and we get thinking about all of the circumstances of the world, and a lot of those things that we worry about are actually fictional. Okay, we're worried about something and it hasn't come to pass. It might not come to pass. We're just worried that it might come to pass. And it's not out there yet. He says, so think on the things that are factual, the things that are true, the things that are good and lovely and right. And then do act upon your faith in God. And God says, the peace of God comes in and takes over. Let's pray and we'll look at the message today. Father, I am grateful for your peace. I'm grateful that we don't have to go through life fretting and worrying. And Lord, I pray that you would help this message, help your scripture. Lord, we're here for the Bible. We're here for the scriptures. We're here for the message that you have for us today. God, I pray that your word would work effectively in our hearts. God, give us receptive hearts. Give us ears to hear. And God, help us to hear what your Holy Spirit has to say to us today through your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So what do we worry about? What do we worry about? Now, some people worry about what's going to happen to me when I die. There is one fact in Scripture. There's a lot of facts in Scripture, but there's one that we're going to point out today, and that is this fact. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, the question is after this the judgment going to be you being judged for your sins, or is it going to be the recognition of the fact that Jesus Christ was already judged for your sins? Some people worry about what happens after I'm going to die. Well, the Bible is here to help you with those worries. There was a time in my life where I was worried that I was going to die and go to hell. Anybody ever had that worry? You came to that realization, and it's not just a worry, that's a possibility, a real factual thing. And I came to the realization, boy, I am a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. What if I die? And the thing that caused me to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ was the, what if I die? If I die, I'm going to hell. I need a Savior. And I called out to the Lord Jesus Christ with the help and guidance of my Father taking me to the Word of God saying, look, Jesus died for your sins so that you don't have to pay for those sins yourself. Now, that's a great message. And I called out to Jesus Christ that day. Jesus says, if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, beyond the tomb or beyond the cross, there is a tomb that is empty. He raised him from the dead. It says, if we'll call out to Jesus Christ to be saved, he will save us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know what? I called upon the name of the Lord and I realized Jesus died for me. Jesus saved me. I believed the book. I put my faith in the book. Now, there have been a couple of times where I started to get my faith off of the book and get it on circumstances and situations where I was like, ooh, am I for sure saved? And that can create doubt. And by the way, worry and doubt, they go together so, so much. But what I have to do is get, no, I am trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have called upon him. I've asked him to save me. He died for me. He is the Savior. He paid for my sins on the cross. My faith is in Jesus Christ. It's certainly not in religion. It's not in church. It's not in my works. It's not in anything else. Jesus is the Savior. So today, if you're worried about what happens after you die, I would encourage you, trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Because what happens after you die, if you die without Jesus, you will go to hell. If you die without Jesus as your Savior, you will spend eternity in hell. And it's not a fictitious thing. It's a real happening, a real event, and you'll stand before the great white throne judgment of God. Nobody wants to be at that judgment on the being judged side. But Jesus Christ paid for your sins. He died for you. And so you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and the peace of God that rules your heart, that peace of God comes in and says, you don't have to worry about it now because I paid your penalty. And you are secure in Jesus Christ. If you've never been saved, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if you've never realized, boy, I'm a sinner on my way to hell, and you turn to Jesus Christ and ask him to save you, then you need to get saved, and you won't have to worry about that. What else? People worry about the economy. Okay, anybody ever worry about finances? Where is that going to come from? Where is this going to come from? How am I going to pay that bill? What's going to happen? Now, there's times when we are concerned, and there is a difference between concern and worry. Worry comes to that point of fretting about something, but look at Philippians 4:19. Right after all of this, I mean, we could read verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, does the Bible teach us that we should prepare for old age, prepare for retirement and those kind of things? It does teach us that. But, you know, we can look at it and it's like, what's going to happen? Is Social Security going to be there for me? I don't know. But my trust is not in the government. And we can look at it and say, is the market going to go up or is it going to go down? Am I going to lose or am I going to gain? You know what? I can't guarantee any of that. But my trust is not in the market. It's got to be in God. Because you can put it in anything. You say, well, I'm not in the market. I'm in real estate. Well, everybody's seen a housing bubble that popped and the price of houses all of a sudden went down. And if that's the time when you need the money, that's a hard time. But you know what? Our trust is not in real estate. Our trust is in God. A person could look at it and say, oh, I'll buy gold. And there's nothing wrong with buying gold. Gold might be a good investment. It might not be. That's the whole thing. We don't know. All of a sudden, if there's no food supply, can you eat gold? There's times when gold is worth less than food. If I don't have any food and I have gold and you have food and there's no more to be had, are you trading your food for my gold? No. Because there's it's about supply and demand, isn't it? But you know what? Psalm 37 verse 25 makes this statement. It's a great statement in the scriptures. Psalm 37. And this statement ties so well with that word do there in Philippians. It says, I have been, verse 25, 37, 25, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Is it a good idea to be righteous? Is it a good idea to teach your children to be righteous? Yep, because that puts you on the receiving end of God. And remember this, our righteousness ultimately is in who? Jesus Christ. It's not our own righteousness. So the economy, people worry about the past. Guess what? You can't change the past. You look at it and say, oh, I messed up here and I messed up here and I messed up there. You know, forget those things which are behind. Look at today and look at the future and learn from the past. But don't live in a state of worry about what has happened in the past. You can't change it. The future. What's going to happen in the future? I don't know, but look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, all across this world today, there are churches meeting. And if those churches get caught, those people get executed. And we're not in that society. But let me ask you something. Is God their helper? Can they trust God? Should they fear what man is going to do to them? You know what? You can cut my head off. God's going to put it back on in heaven. And no, am I excited about the possibility of getting my head cut off? No, not really. But it's kind of like, I've never had it done before. And I don't know what it'd be like. You know, people worry about getting shot. Well, look, if I get shot and I die, I'm going to heaven. Now, what's worse is possibly getting shot and not dying. Because that would probably hurt. And so we look at these situations and we can understand that, boy, you know, do I want those things? No. But God's my helper. And God's going to help me right up to heaven if I do die. And I'm going to die someday. Again, I'm not pushing it. I'm not excited. I don't know. Sometimes you look at it. But you know what? It's not like, oh, I want to. But at the same time, we shouldn't fear it. We shouldn't worry about it. People worry about how they look. You know, teenagers especially. People that approach marrying age. You know, once people get married, it's like, Forget it now. You can grow the love handles. He already saw me get up in the morning without my makeup. You know, but young people, they get all worked up and concerned. Oh, something is popping out on my face right here. It's red and it's ugly. You know what? How many have had one of those? Everybody! And you know what? Yours isn't any worse than anybody else's. So, you know, you think about these things. People, why worry about what you look like? Now, there's some things you can do something about. There's other things you can't do anything about. You know, my son, he's not here today. He's over in Serbia on a missions trip. Serving the Lord. He has one ear that's smaller than the other. You're welcome, Benjamin. If you happen to be watching. Guess what? He can't do anything about that. Doesn't matter. There are some things we can do something about. We can all wash. We can clean up. We can comb our hair. We can't necessarily determine how much is there, right? But what we do have, we can be clean and neat, right? People worry about getting sick. How many of you have been sick? That's just about everybody. Why? Well, it happens. And you know, do any of us like it? No. But we shouldn't worry about it. If you're saved, what's the worst that's going to happen? Well, actually, maybe that's the best. People worry about, is my dog going to die? You know, the thing is, we get all concerned and worked up about a variety of things. And we need to put our trust in God. How does worry affect us? How does worry affect us? Isaiah chapter 8. I want to read verse 20 through 22. The Word of God, and by the way, we are a church that focuses on the Bible. I'm not here to tell all kinds of long stories, and this is not motivational speaking. This is us dealing with inner problems that are in our life that God does not want there. It's not about, let me try to pump you up and motivate you so you're not worried, so you're not concerned. It's about, do you have worry? Let's get right with God about that. Let's look at that and say, what is it? How does it affect me? And how do I get rid of it? Because God doesn't want us in that state of worry. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 21 and 22. And here's what the Bible says, verse 20 through 22. It says, to the law and to the testimony, that's the Word of God, the Bible. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. So you want to know whether something's true or not. Now, the Bible doesn't discuss absolutely everything, but it does have a lot to do. You know, if you want to know whether evolution's true, it's not. Why? Because God said He created the world. And if someone speaks against creation and the fact that God created the world, then there's no light in them. But verse 21, it's interesting, and they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves. Now, it's interesting. People are looking around at societal problems, and that problem has hit them. In this case, it's talking about they're hungry. But it can be other problems. It could be a sickness. It could be a loved one's sickness. It could be all kinds of variety of problems. And finally, one of those problems hit us. Are these problems going to hit us at some time along the way? Absolutely. It just, we like it when they're not hitting us. Not that we want it to hit someone else, but it's easier on us when it hits someone else, unless it's a close family member. And then it can actually be harder on us than it is on the person that it's hitting. But it says this, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God. and look upward, and they shall look unto the earth, and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. If we look at circumstances and we fret, we worry about those circumstances, it has the potential to drive us away from God and turn toward darkness. That's a dangerous place to be. See, when we have a problem, where should our eyes turn? To God. Where should we look? To the light. To the scriptures. To the word of God. To our faith and trust in God. To God who is our heavenly Father, who cares for us, who said he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's where we look. That's where we turn. And if we don't, you know, worry can make people physically sick. Worry can make people so that they can't sleep, which then can make people physically sick. Worry can get in there and make people mentally sick. It can burden them to the point where they're depressed. And they go and say, can I get a pill for that? Now, see, this worry idea, we've already tied it a little bit to doubt. But we've also tied it to depression. Both of those we looked at as dealing with our inner self. Those are two separate problems. But worry ties to both of those problems. It affects us emotionally. Worry can cause people to get angry and lash out. It can cause people to, as the Bible said, they curse their king and their God. It affects us emotionally. It for sure affects us spiritually. And if we start worrying about something, we're in danger of going toward the darkness versus toward the light. So what do people worry about? All kinds of things. How does it affect us? It affects us from the inside out. It can affect your immune system. It can affect everything about your being and really turn you into a completely different person. I had a person one time in the course of my ministry, they made this statement. They were actually upset at me because I said that worry is a lack of faith. Now, is worry a lack of faith? Okay, I got two people. It's hard to say sometimes, isn't it? Because then we're looking at, but they made this statement. They said, well, my wife has a tendency to worry and she has faith. I'm like, well, what's the Bible say? It says, cast all our care upon him, for he careth for you. It says, be careful for nothing, but by everything, with prayer and supplication. It says, think on these things. It says, do these things. So God gives us the answer to fretting, the answer to worry, the answer to care. We should never justify it in our lives or in the lives of people around us. Well, they just have a tendency to worry. They need to get faith in God. See, God's word is about changing us. It's not about us staying as we are and everybody just accepting it. It's about God working in us to make us more Christ-like. Did Jesus go around worrying? So how do you overcome it? We see what it is that people worry about, a variety of things. We see how it can affect us. So how do we overcome it? Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And so here is, you say, I'm a worrier. Here's your answer. Here's the Bible help to this. In verse 25 through 34, here's what the Bible says. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? I don't know many people that want to add 18 inches to their height, be hitting doorways and everything, but the thing is, we can't do it. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into an oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth. You notice, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The idea is not don't plan or don't prepare. The idea is don't worry. You notice it says, verse 25, take no thought. Verse 27, by taking thought. Verse 28, why take ye thought? Verse 31, therefore take no thought. Verse 34, take therefore no thought. People get in their minds and they get worrying about things they can't control. And they get burdened about it. And they get worried about it. And they stop serving God over it. And God says, look. Now, when it says, verse 25, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, does that mean don't plan a weekly menu? That's not what it's talking about. Does it mean don't go to work? And just, well, somehow or another, the food's going to show up on my doorstep. See, there are Bible principles, and the Bible principle is this. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Does God teach that men ought to go to work to provide for their family? Yes. So should we do that? Is that righteous? That is righteous. So first of all, we implement the biblical principles, and then we say, take no thought. Don't worry about it. Are you going to work? You're going to work for a paycheck? You know, now here's where it gets going. I'm going to work for a paycheck. But oh, inflation. Is inflation bad? It's horrible. Okay, but are we following the biblical principles? Will God take care of us if we're following the biblical principles? If we're following his righteousness, will God take care of us? What's the answer? Yes. If the government collapses, is God gone? People get worried about, is Social Security going to be there? Okay, if it's not, is God gone? Are there still biblical principles to follow? You know, the reason they had to implement Social Security is because people wouldn't plan for themselves. And, you know, always we're better off planning for ourselves than letting the government do it. But when people don't do it, the government has to step in. Or they don't have to, but they so willingly do it. Look at the scriptures, Matthew 6:11. In the model prayer, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, worry and trust, it's a daily thing. Now, how many of you like to have money for next month's bills? I do. How many of you try to plan? Guess what? It's almost March. What's due in March? property taxes. Okay, now, there are some people that have seen that coming and they've set aside some money and it's there. And that's a nice place to be, isn't it? When you have the money sitting there and you just pay the property taxes. That's great. What if you don't have it? Can, you know, are there principles? Can you work for it? Can you pray? Can you, you know what? We have to come up with it. Because there's no mercy with the government. You go down there and say, can you have mercy on me? I don't have money to pay my property taxes. You just see how well that works out. But, you know, here's the thing. Give us this day our daily bread. God does not tell us to pray for a week's groceries or a month's bills. God is a daily provider. And when we don't see it, now this does not mean don't prepare for the future. Brother Reed told me a story about somebody who says, well, I don't keep any money in the bank. I spend it when it comes in. He says, you know, because we're supposed to just trust God for every day. Now, the problem with that was the person would then come to him and say, brother, I don't have any money. Can you help me? Or they come to somebody else. Oh, brother, I don't have any money. Can you help me? Wait a minute. There is such a thing as preparing for things that you know are going to come up. The Bible's not teaching us to not prepare or plan for the future. It's telling us you do your righteousness, God's righteousness, God's follow the biblical principles, and then don't worry. Then don't worry. Look, none of us can foretell what medical bill is going to hit us this year. Does God know? God knows that. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Great passage of Scripture. It says this. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your what? Care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting your care upon him, that's your worry, that's your fret, that's your burden. Why? Does he care for you? Yes, he cares for you. But what does it say? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Is God's hand mighty? Do we like to be self-sufficient? We like to be self-sufficient. It's nice to have everything in order. But even if everything seems to be in order, you'd better get under the mighty hand of God. Because you're going to need the mighty hand of God. You can plan, you can prepare, but you cannot foresee. And we need to humbly, look, the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. Well, I don't need to ask today for God's help. I've got it all set. Maybe you need to be asking, and maybe you should be asking, even if you think you have it all set. Because it may just be that God knows something that's coming up that you don't know. And God wants you hearing from you today, saying, God, I'm depending on you today. Yeah, I may have a few dollars in the bank. Maybe I've got a week's worth of groceries in the bank. And maybe I've got my property taxes all set up to be paid. And maybe I'm healthy right now. Are you going to be in a car accident today? Don't know that. Are you going to come down with some kind of a sickness today? Are you going to have a stroke today? Are you going to have a heart attack today? We don't know. So we would probably do well to get up in the morning and God say, God, give us this day our daily bread. God, provide for my needs today because I don't know what they are. And how many of us fail to do that because we think we're in charge? What it is we get prideful. And we need to humble ourselves and get under God and get under His mighty hand and realize I need His mighty hand in my life today. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Great verse. The Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Do you want perfect peace in your heart and life? God will keep him in perfect peace. Is it your job to keep yourself in perfect peace? No. It says, "God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." When do we get out of peace? When we're not trusting God. When do we fret and worry? When we're not trusting God. See, if we would learn to actually put our trust and faith in God, it says God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That mind stayed on thee. Doesn't that go right along with that Philippians passage? Whatsoever things are true and honest and good and lovely and the rest of that list. Think on these things. So we need to keep our mind on the right kind of things. Now, are we concerned for our country? How many are concerned for our country? Are we praying for our country? Are we praying for the elections? Who is the answer to our country? God is the answer to our country. Not Biden, not Trump. Now, can one person have the betterment of the country in mind better than another person? Absolutely. But ultimately, if our country doesn't do right, is there a reason for God to bless it? So as we are concerned, we should not be fretting. Should not be fretting. No, I was personally glad with the results of the primary in South Carolina yesterday. Personally, I was glad, okay? But you know what? I watched. You know, I looked up at the news, see what the results were. But I'll tell you what I wasn't doing. I wasn't sitting there saying, oh, it's all, boy, if it doesn't work out like this, it's going to be bad. Why? Because people are not the answer to the country. God is the answer to the country. And we need to remember that in all things and put our trust in God. And then we can walk through life without fret, without worry, without care. And when something does pop up that really concerns us, stop worrying about it and go to God. Stop worrying about it and say, you know what? I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And God said He would take care of it. But in order to do that, we probably better be seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's the answer to peace. That's the answer to dealing with this on our inner self. Is worry wrong? Yes. Is worry a sin? Yes. Anything that is a lack of trust in God would be a sin. Is it something that we need to ask forgiveness for? Yes. Ask God for forgiveness. And here's really how that goes, is God, forgive me for not trusting you. Forgive me for leaning to my own understanding, trying to just work all this out on my own and fretting about it. When, God, I need to have trust in you. You have a mighty hand. You do care for me. And I can trust you. And isn't life better when you're trusting God? Let's stand to our feet. As we get ready for our invitation, and the invitation is just simply an opportunity for you to come down and pray if you want to when the piano begins to play, but I want to ask two questions. How many of you, you're not worried at all about what happens after you die because you know that you're saved? You, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know that your faith and trust is in Jesus Christ and you're saved. Would you raise your hand? Okay, that's great. Is there anyone here that says, I'm not certain I'm saved? Anybody at all? I'm not certain I'm saved. A couple weeks ago, there was one young man that raised his hand, right? And he came and he got saved. That was a great thing. Now let me ask this. How many of you struggle from time to time with worry? Okay. Can God take care of it? I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy to completely trust God. But has God come through for you in the past? Has God helped you along the way? Do you have acts of faith in the past that you can go to and say, look, God came through there, God came through. I was worried about that and God came through. I was worried about that and God came through. Will God come through in the future? Is God faithful? He certainly is. Father, I pray that you would help us to take this into consideration today. Lord, help us to trust your word and to trust you and to put the Bible principles in place in our life and then just give our life to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, maybe you have something to come and pray about today. Come and talk to the Lord. Get all worked up, all out of sorts. God is faithful. God's word is true. See, anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. We sang that before we started preaching. No other friend so kind as he. Oh, how much he cares for me. Ain't God good? Another thing, you can get worried and care, all worried about raising children in this society, right? There are Bible principles, right? See, if we stick to the Bible principles, it disperses the worry and the fret. So glad you're all here today. Come back tonight at 6:30, and we're working our way through the book of Jude on Sunday nights. Next Sunday, we're done with dealing with our inner self, and I got a few places we're going to go over the next few weeks. And God, boy, we need God's word. We need God's help. And so pray for all the upcoming messages that God would guide and direct our church. And get out and be a good testimony for the Lord throughout the week. Be a blessing to somebody. Witness to someone. People need Jesus. Okay, encourage one another. There's plenty of people in our own congregation that need some encouragement from time to time, right? Let's do our best. Father, we are grateful for all that you do for us, how you provide and take care of us. God, you are a great God. You are a mighty God. Your hand is capable fully of saving. God, help us to put all the Bible principles into place and put our trust in you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.